Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
It's the last day of April. And I don't know if you realize this, Chris Canty. Today is 50 days, 50 days since we last saw sports. And I guess it would be that bizarro first half at the Garden between St. John's and Creighton at the Big East tournament. But 50 days since we've last had a sporting event.
Which is still really ridiculous when you think about the Big East trying to move forward with that tournament when you have professional sports leagues shutting it down. But that's neither here nor there, Dave. I mean, I guess you want to say we're another day closer to being able to have live team sports. But, you know, we got the report from Jeff Passan yesterday, and we thought that we were getting closer to seeing Major League Baseball put in plans to be able to get this thing started up. And now, according to Buster Olney, when he was on the Barton Hahn show, he's saying that he doesn't know whether or not we're going to have baseball. So, I mean, I don't know what to think at this point, Dave. I'm trying to be optimistic about things, but I really don't have a whole lot of tangible things to hold on to right now.
It's weird, Rick, because every day you get like these little nuggets of story of, ooh, the NBA, or ooh, you know, NHL could come back. And then you hear stories, you know, like Buster Olney on Barton Hahn yesterday, or, you know, just other people reporting, or Fauci saying, you know, not so fast. We're not that close to sports. It's an emotional roller coaster, the idea that sports is right around the corner, but maybe it's not right around the corner.
Well, I think that's exactly how the people that are in charge of these leagues that are making these decisions feel. I mean, the reason why I mentioned yesterday during the show that, you know, with the NBA, you know, already, you know, talking about having a Christmas start for next season. And then, you know, I kind of mentioned that the NHL would do something similar just to give themselves enough time to try to, you know, when they do restart the upcoming season, not this season, they're going to try to finish this season, but, you know, give themselves as much time as possible to have fans in stands. And then, you know, being on these phone calls before the show, I mean, it was just, okay, well, what if you do this? Well, if we do this, then, you know, we got to make sure we have this, this, and this. And then if this idea is to happen, then we need this, this, and this. It's like they're good ideas. They're not ideal ideas. But even when you come to, you know, the best of the ideas, the amount of hurdles that you have to jump over to try to actually make this a reality is crazy. It's crazy. Like, I mean, it's just like you bring up something which you think is a good idea, and then, you know, the person that you're talking to will give you 10 different things that have to happen in order for that to take place. So what sounds easy is, I mean, is there's so many hoops and everything
else.
So many different people. No, nothing.
Nothing. If you think it's just, oh, well, you go to Arizona and it's just easy and you go into Biodome and guys don't leave the hotel, nothing will be easy. Nothing. I mean, for us to get sports back right now, the way the virus is still spreading and people are being affected, is going to be jumping through hurdles. And I know that all the leagues want to get it done, and I know the government wants to get it back, and I'm not saying it won't, and I'm hopeful that it does, but it's going to be jumping through hurdles, over hurdles, to get these sports back.
And what adds another layer to it, Dave, is the financial implications of it all. I mean, you hear about what's going on with Major League Baseball and the owners and them going back and forth with the players. They thought they had an agreement in place, but now the owners want the players to make concessions if we're going to be playing in empty stadiums. It feels like it's a nightmare, Dave, in terms of, okay, even if we clear all of the hurdles from the medical standpoint, you know, where are we when it comes to the players' willingness to go out there and play the game, to be that distraction for everybody in this country after we're dealing with this pandemic? Where are the players going to be at this thing in terms of the finances of it and playing in empty stadiums? That's the part of it that we have no idea about.
Yeah, that really, I mean, when push comes to shove, Chris, you're exactly right. There's the haves and the have-nots, and there's everyone between owners and players. Everyone has their own personal interests in mind, and it's tough to get that many people that have. I mean, even going back to yesterday, I mean, what Steve Kerr said, like as far as he's concerned, the season's over.
Right, they're done.
I mean, you name the bad teams in each of these sports. They're like, well, what the hell are we playing for? I'm going to all of a sudden now, I'm going to come back, do a 2-week training camp, and then play a couple games for what reason? No reason. Like, why am I going to expose myself to potentially getting COVID-19 because you want to finish your season? And then there's Major League Baseball teams that, I mean, they rely on the gate. Like, they need that money. So they're like, well, why? I mean, it's going to cost me more to start this thing up. I'm not going to have any fans come to these games. So, I mean, what's my motivation? We're not going to win a World Series. What am I doing? What are we doing?
Yeah, no, it's everyone has their own agenda. You have to think about the health and well-being of these guys, obviously, first and foremost. The financial implication is huge as a secondary. TV revenue is huge. Where are you going to play? I mean, again, it's jumping through hoops to get this thing done. And, you know, NHL sounds like it's starting to make some inroads in potentially, you know, I don't want to say getting going because I think we're a little premature for that, but ideas to really ratchet this thing up. And like I said, we've said this the entire time. I think we've been pretty uniform as a show on this. If it means the Rangers don't get into the postseason then that's what it means. You know, ordinarily I'd go crazy if the Rangers were a point out and I thought we're playing well and had a chance to beat these teams. But whatever it is, if you tell me the Islanders get in and the Rangers don't, but that hockey returns in, I don't know, mid-June, late June, early July, whatever the case may be, I would sign for that. I think this is the year, Rick, that you have to take your personal feelings of how it's done and just be happy that it does return at some point.
Yeah, but I don't think you're at that point yet. I think we're closing in time-wise on that point where I think currently, I mean, what the NHL would like to do is finish up the regular season and then go into the playoffs. But that, I mean, that the amount of obstacles that are involved with that, I mean, that probably is going to be at the end of the day too much. So I think once we get closer to more of a drop dead date, where we have to come up with something. Either we're going to do one thing or we're not going to do anything. The season's going to be canceled. That's when you'll come to the realization that you're not going to make everyone happy with this decision.
No.
I guess my biggest question is, when would that drop dead date be? Because they're already talking about having informal workouts in the middle of May and then leading up to, I guess, some kind of 2 or 3 week training camp before you get going again. So Rick, in your opinion, when would they absolutely have to start, you know, whatever regular season that they're going to have or whatever playoff schedule they're going to have, as when are they going to have to start that as to not, you know, jeopardize the start of the following season?
Well, I think so far, I mean, from what I've been told, I mean, they're going to try to, you know, reopen this thing sometime in May to, you know, the teams to have guys come to the facility. Then you're going to have a training camp. I think when push comes to shove, as much as they want to have the regular season, I don't think that makes enough sense to do it, just because of, I mean, now all of a sudden, rather than have two cities, you may be talking about four different cities, and you got to get, I mean, you're going to need approvals and tests and everything else. I think it's going to end up just being the playoffs. And I would say, I mean, the NFL, listen, I'll give them credit because they're hell bent. They have no problem pushing their season to the start of next season back to December. So you're probably looking sometime, hopefully sometime in June when you start back up.
So I guess it's really like almost work backwards. If the next season is going to start in December, when do you have to be done with this season by then?
Exactly right. Like how much, like, because now you got your draft and there's things. I mean, how do you not jeopardize the players' health moving forward for the upcoming season? Like how much time do they need off before you start up, you know, the following year's training camps and everything else?
Yeah. So if you start in December and you work backwards, then what do you need? 2 months in between? 2.5 months in between? So you have to be done by what? Mid to late September then, if that's the case?
I know basketball said that they wanted to be done around Labor Day weekend. That's what they said. If they were going to come back and have playoffs, they want to be done around then, and then they would push back the start of the regular season to Christmas Day.
I'll tell you what, we're not going to get this postseason in any of these. Hockey doesn't really do it, but the NBA does it, where you have a game one on Monday, game two on Wednesday, and game three the following Monday.
Like, no, there's no
that's
travel.
Not going to be an out. You're going to get in there. No. You're going to start banging out games.
It's every other day. You'll play every other day. You'll have all the playoff teams in one city. You'll have however many games you have on Monday. Then you'll play Tuesday, Wednesday. There'll be no days off. There's no travel days.
It's almost like you want to go back to the old format with the NBA, right, Dave? Instead of having that 7-game series in the first round, you want to have a 5-game series?
I think you should.
You know what I'm saying? Best of five? I mean, that just makes sense. I mean, you got over half the teams making the playoff field.
And how many matchups really, honestly, are going to be intriguing in the first round of the NBA? Right? I mean, Milwaukee and God knows who, I don't even know who the eighth seed would be. You need to see 7 games, best of 7 of that. I mean, how many series do you look at in the first round? You say, boy, give me best of 7 of that. I think if there's any way you can expedite it, I'd say expedite it.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Rick.
No, but I think to both of your points, I think part of it too, though, is, I mean, if you're hell-bent on trying to get regular seasons because you want more games, then what I would suggest is, because there are teams like in the NBA, for example, like there's a lot of people that want to see Zion Williamson.
Sure.
And right now, I mean, that team is not in the playoffs. Like if you want more games, meaningful games, then maybe you start including, you know, 9, 10, 11, you know what I mean? So then obviously you have like a little bit, a little play-in.
I don't need to see the Knicks. There's nothing about seeing Golden State. There's no reason to see these teams. But if you told me that 7's going to play 10 and 8's going to play 9 in a best of whatever, 3-5, whatever the case may be, and then the winner of that will move on. Now, you know what? I'm very intrigued by that.
Well, because you're exactly what you want. It gives you the extra games, and they're actually meaningful games as opposed to, you know, trying to all of a sudden make, you know, the rest of your regular season work where you have, you know, four different cities, whatever it ends up being, for games that, I mean, the players don't even care about. There's no interest. I mean, if you're not a team that's going to be playing for anything, what's your incentive to come back?
I guess you wouldn't have any, Rick, but when you start talking about including teams like the New Orleans Pelicans and other teams with young superstar players, you're talking about adding them to whatever respective playoff field you're going to have. You're extending the calendar. And so I guess that would be the one thing that would still be a question mark. If you're going to involve those teams, are you still going to be able to get all of that in before your drop dead date on when you have to crown a champion and move forward to the next season?
Well, I understand what you're saying, but what I would suggest is a best of three.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not going to be that many days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially if you have, you know, both of those series on the same days. You play two games in one day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not going to be like you have, you know, one team play on Monday and the other teams play on Tuesday. It'd be both teams play on Monday, both teams play on Wednesday, both teams play on Friday. The series is over.
Gotcha. Okay.
Now, currently, Sacramento and New Orleans have the exact same record. I would imagine that the NBA would find a way for New Orleans to have the tiebreaker between those two.
But here's the other. But here's the other part to that, guys.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah. That would be
Zion
hilarious,
wins.
By
yes,
the way.
You move on.
Yeah, that would be hilarious. I mean, all it would come down to is having David Griffin in the room, and you know that New Orleans Pelicans are going to get the break. But I guess my biggest thing with that is if you're going to have a best of three or a best of five, could you really justify putting those players at risk? You know, even though you're going to take all the precautions and all of those things, could you justify that knowing that ultimately they're really not playing for anything?
Well, I think it's going to be dependent on, I mean, it's going to be, there's going to be risk involved. Like the players are going to realize going back, there's going to be risk involved. And
mm-hmm.
it's going to be up to, you know, those teams to have that conversation and decide whether or not it's worth it. And the other thing too is, and Chris, you've been through these CBA negotiations. I've been through, you know, CBA rule changes and everything else. It's amazing when you sit in a room and you start talking about things, you know, where people's minds go, like what's important to each person. Like I told you, Haynes, he wanted no physical testing in training camp. I have one guy when we're talking about, you know, goalie equipment. Yeah. Now
didn't
we
you have one guy
that.
Talking
yeah.
about not wanting to have a roommate on the road?
Yeah, we had roommates. That actually, we actually got that. That was one of the things that we got in the CBA. We got crook. We decided to give them escrow, which is a joke, but we got our own rooms. So that was great. But yeah, I mean, the thing is that everyone has their own interest in mind when they're making these decisions rather than, I mean, ultimately, and I know it's not easy for everybody. You also have to think about, you know, what's in the best interest of your league. You know what I'm saying? Like
100%.
Moving forward, like, I mean, how is this going to affect next year's salary cap? Like, how's that for the NHL? How's that going to affect, you know, next year's escrow? You know what I'm saying? So that has to go into it too. There's just so many different things, you know, having a chance to talk to some of these guys that they're dealing with, like all these phone calls, all these people they have to talk to, trying to get tests, you know, talking, having players call, some that are, you know, hell bent, let's go, let's get this thing going. And other ones, you know, I'm really not interested in my family and everything else. So, I mean, there are a lot of things going involved. There are a lot of things going into trying to make these decisions.
And Rick, while you're going down that road, another thing to consider is what's in the best interest of your sport. You know what I'm saying? In terms of where we're at as a country and your sport having an opportunity to be a part of the country turning the page on the coronavirus and this pandemic. I mean, in terms of morale, I mean, this, you know, sports plays a huge role in our culture. So, you know, you have to think that if these players have enough awareness, they recognize that there's something that's integral in terms of them getting back to play because you're ultimately going to help this country move forward. And I think there's a natural opportunity to have more eyeballs on your sport than you otherwise would just because people are starving for content. So, I mean, that has to be a part of the equation as well.
How many sports do you think, Chris, by July the 4th are back in action?
I'm going to say
of the three, right? I mean, we think golf is going to.
I think we're going to have golf back. Golf is going to be back
of the three major sports that could potentially be back.
Dave, I would probably lean toward basketball and hockey being back before baseball, because you're talking about those seasons resuming and you can jump straight into the postseason. You can tweak the format a little bit. You're not going to have the entire league participating, so I think that cuts down on the risk factor overall because it's less people. So I think it makes more sense to see basketball and hockey back before we see baseball.
Rick, what would you say?
No, I agree. And we've been saying this too. I mean, for the NBA and NHL, you know, more incentive for the players because, I mean, you're in the playoffs, so you're competing for a championship. And
plus, it's just a better relationship with the NBA and the NBPA, right? It's just a better relationship than with baseball.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's less, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely correct. I mean, it's definitely less adversarial. I just think, though, I mean, I think it's hard for Major League Baseball players to wrap their heads around, you know, especially on teams that probably aren't going to be that good, that I'm going to go, you know, biodome myself up for, you know, X amount of months when in the NHL and NBA, listen, worst case scenario, if you don't want to be away from your family, is that it's going to be a couple months, which sucks, but at the end of it, you may be a champion, which makes it worth it. Who knows?
Most guys are not going to be gone for a couple months. The majority of the guys could be gone for a week or two or three, and then you're eliminated and you go home. It's only going to be the select few who are going to be gone for, you know, the duration of it, where it's going to be two and a half, 3 months potentially.
Dave, I think to Rick's point, I mean, when you're talking about basketball and hockey, the end is a lot closer. You can actually see it. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. With baseball, they haven't gotten this thing started up yet. So I think with all of the unknown involving COVID and treatment protocols and vaccine testing and all of that, I think baseball players are probably a lot hesitant just because you're going to have a longer duration in terms of being able to deal with this and navigate this on top of trying to play games.
I think selfishly, too, for the NHL, I mean, and again, I mean, with all these things being canceled, the Olympics being postponed, I mean, selfishly for the NHL and their relationship with NBC, like this is, I mean, this is the kind of content that NBC would want now because there's no Olympics.
100%.
It's a perfect opportunity. 100%. It's a perfect opportunity for the NHL. Perfect.
Because for the most part, people are trapped in their homes, and this will give you an opportunity to watch sports. I mean, how great will this be? There's nothing you wouldn't watch. I watched guys on their iPhone shooting horse for 15 minutes. If you're going to tell me I'm going to get NHL postseason, which is great to begin with, I would flock to it.
Yeah, but that's not just. But you're not just going to get sports. Like, I mean, fingers crossed. Because I listen. I think the one thing I will say about our show, and I want to give us a little bit of credit.
Yes, give us credit.
Well, no, and I was listening to the K Show yesterday, and they had the governor of New Jersey on, and he was talking about, you know, what to Chris's point about mental health and how important it is to kind of get back to some semblance of normalcy, people working, you know, if you're stuck at home, something to watch, sports being a big part of that. Is I have no interest for 3 hours being overly pessimistic or negative. We're saying, no, definitively, well, you know what? It's going to be a real long time. I can't see it happen. Why? I mean, why do we need to say that? That could be the reality, but I have the rest of my day to deal with that. I don't want to spend 3 hours being negative. I want to focus on, okay, if this thing does come back, we're not going to just get sports. I mean, you're not going to just get NHL playoffs. You could get three NHL playoff games in one day.
Oh,
it's going to be like
awesome.
The NCAA.
Awesome.
It's going to be like March Madness, man.
Oh.
You're going to
turn
the TV on and you're going to get game. It's going to be like sensory overload.
Oh. I'd sign for that in a heartbeat. A big, fresh, steaming pizza. Back-to-back-to-back hockey. Basketball sprinkled in. Oh, how good would that be?
No, you couldn't beat it. I mean, that's the dream. That's the hope. You get golf sprinkled in, some of the majors. I mean, it would be awesome. It would be exactly what, you know, exactly what we need. Because I'm just looking for, to be completely honest, Dave, and I had to go to the grocery store yesterday.
Uh-oh. I mean, how'd that turn out?
It was good because they actually had a lot of the stuff that I needed.
Mm-hmm.
It got bad when some lady decided that she was going to speed around the grocery store. And as I pulled in for some ground beef, she almost took out my Achilles. Like she almost ripped up my Achilles. I got smashed with the cart.
Really?
But
that's painful.
Destroyed because she wanted to dive in and get the meat. And I'm like, okay, relax. I'm trying to social distance. Relax, please.
Can you clip that, Sandy?
But here's the thing, though. Like, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. Are you guys not trying to find, like, I can't. Every time I turn on the news, every time Twitter,
I can't watch the news anymore, bro. I can't. No, dude, I try to stay informed. You know, I'm appointment television, 6:30 at night, ABC News with David Muir. But dude, it's getting to the point where I cannot watch the news. That's how dangerous it is right now, Dave. I mean, it's important for us to all stay informed, but I don't want to watch the news because it seems like it's more negative information on top of negative stuff. It's just it's one thing after another, man.
Yeah, I can't listen, I got to keep my 5-year-old and my 3-year-old busy, but in part of keeping them busy with the gardening and whatever we're doing, the picnics and everything else, it's just to keep my mind off of all the negativity. Like, I mean, there are so many different things that, like, you turn on the news, and between the news and my wife, WebMD, it's like, I can't take it anymore.
You can't go on WebMD. You got to block her from that site. Don't you have parental controls? You can't let her on WebMD.
Oh, she lives on it, man. And then Then this morning she comes to me. They're looking to get the teacher, a gift from the class. And one of the people wants to get an edible arrangement. And she's losing her mind. Why would you get an edible arrangement? This is not the time for fresh fruit.
100%. 100% agree, by the way.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy, man. I'm telling you.
Is that a quote? This is not the time for fresh fruit. That's such a great quote. With disdain, this is not the time for fresh fruit. How dare they?
Because she wanted to dive in and get the meat.
Yeah.
She did. She was looking for the meat. What can I do? I'm trying to be courteous. I got a full cart, and she comes bombing in and clips my Achilles.
Are you one of those guys that the cart is, like, overflowing? Like no one wants to be near you at the register because it can take you 45 minutes to check out?
If I tell you something now, will you promise not to judge me?
Judge-free zone. Judge-free zone, Rico.
Okay, so I went in.
I don't know. Hang on. I don't know that I can make that deal right now.
All right. As long as Canty's not judging me. You're very judgy by nature. So so yeah. I go in yesterday.
You're funny today.
So I went. Oh, that's almost like a backhanded.
Isn't it though?
How so? I'm saying you're funny today.
You're funny today. As opposed to him not being funny every other day.
That was like a passive-aggressive Aaron Rodgers kind of quote. Like, I'm not funny. Yeah,
trade me. You
definitely
can't trade
out
me.
Of the Aaron Rodgers school of media training.
All right. So anyway, here's what happened. So I had to go back-to-back. I didn't even tell you guys this yesterday. So I was sent 2 days ago to go to Whole Foods, right? We actually called Whole Foods just because they have the line, right? Like, you can't go in. Like, people come out, you get to go in. So we actually called. I said, Cassie's like, we have to go to Whole Foods. This is what we need. I said, all right, I'll go today. Can you just make sure, can you call maybe and see if it's crowded? Like, calls, line's not bad. So I jump in the car, mask, gloves, hood, glasses, everything. Get to Whole Foods. The line is wrapped around the building. So I'm like, I can't, this is going to take me an hour to get in the store. So I went to Stop and Shop. So I was like, okay, I can bang out some of the stuff at Stop and Shop, get what I need. So I get a bunch of stuff, not exactly, everything I needed. So yesterday she sends me to Whole Foods. So we pull up at Whole Foods, line's not crazy. So I jump out. I got this big list. Get in there just thinking because it's the afternoon. I'm like, everything's going to be gone like last time. There's going to be no meat. There'll be no, Cassie wants yeast because all she's doing is baking her face off. So I get in there, and all of a sudden, it's fully stocked, Dave. Fully stocked.
It's like Christmas morning. Okay.
They got everything.
So you're like taking things in twos and threes and just throwing them into the cart.
Well, I don't want to go back. So she says, okay, we need maple syrup. Well, if one is good. Two or three, so I'm loading up, dude. I got maple syrups. I got
how much money did you spend yesterday at the supermarket?
I'm not gonna tell you. Let's just say
you spent over $500, didn't you?
Let's just say, but by the time I was done and checked out, I needed to go outside and wash down another cart because it took me two carts to get all the groceries out of the cart.
I've never seen anything like that.
Cassie hasn't either. Like, it was almost comical.
The double cart.
It took her, I would say, because she's crazy, and she's got a Clorox wipe all the groceries, which is smart. It took her probably an hour and 30 minutes to clean off all the groceries when we got them home.
Wow.
That was aggressive.
An undertaking.
It was aggressive.
No doubt.
But all of a sudden, that switch clicked in my head where it was like, okay, this is probably the only time I'm going to be in here where they actually have everything I want, and I don't want to come back. So I went for it.
You succeeded. So from beginning to end, from you left the house to it was done being cleaned, how long did that take? 5 hours?
Yeah, probably close. I mean, I waited in line for a good, wait till you hear this too. So I'm in line and they have like the, Have you been to a Whole Foods yet, or you just been ordering groceries?
I know. Okay, no, so, I mean, I have not been during this time, but I've been to Whole Foods.
Yeah, you've been to Whole Foods, but now, so Chris, I know you've been to Whole Foods recently.
Yes,
they have the, you know, how you wait outside is they
the
actually
blue
have
lines.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm waiting on my blue line, right? And then there's a couple, an older couple in front of me, and then there's an older guy who's real talkative in front of them. So he's going through like his whole life story as I'm sitting here waiting in line. This is like probably, I was probably 40 minutes in line.
Like
and
Gump. Going back like he's telling you everything.
No, but he's not telling me. I'm listening to what he's telling the group in front of me, the couple in front of me. And they're going back and forth, and he starts telling them, you know, this is what I do, I'm in the city. And then he's convinced that his wife had COVID and he had COVID. And now they get into a fight because the one guy in front of me doesn't think he had COVID. He thinks he just had the flu. And the symptoms are different. And they're going back. This was like 15 minutes of them fighting. The one guy telling him, you know, I had it. Well, did you get tested? No, I didn't get tested. Well, how do you know? Did you have all the symptoms? This was like 15 straight minutes. And finally, they was like, okay, we'll agree to disagree. You could think you had it. I don't think you have it. All right. We'll talk later.
That sounds horrible. That sounds absolutely horrible.
Yeah, I don't understand that logic at all, Dave.
But you should
back
seen,
and forth arguing whether or not he has it.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that if he did have it, it's in the best interest of the other person to be having a back and forth shouting match in front of Whole Foods.
No, you didn't have it. No, but what's funny, you had it.
But here's the funniest. So it was like the couple in front of me was a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, and the guy in front of them was the one that was telling the story. So the guys are going back and forth, and the second he said that he thinks he had COVID, you could see the wife of the guy in front of me like slowly taking steps backwards. It was
love it.
That is too much.
It's like he had a weapon. Man.
Slowly back away.
Their everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Stay home when you're sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN. Nice guest list on the station today, starting with the K Show at 2:55. Rich Kleiman will be with the guys at 4:00, and then Mike Breen will join them at 5:00. And did you see what Carlin has on his show tonight, Rick?
Linsanity.
He, Jeremy Lin from China is joining him.
Oh yes,
7:30 tonight.
Now he's crushing the guests. Carlin right now is currently crushing the guests.
Now you think this is Carlin that does his own booking, or do you think that his roving band of producers is booking all these terrific guests?
He's pretty high maintenance, so I mean, it wouldn't be surprised if his personal assistant or someone that works for him is doing this. But he's got, I mean, he's his Rolodex. I mean, he's been doing this a long time. I'm sure he's got all these connections to make this stuff happen.
I'm sure he does. Beautiful Rolodex. Jeremy Lin tonight, 7:30 on the Carlin Show. All right, let's get to the calls. 800-919-3776. Spike in Jersey. Spike, lead us off on a Thursday on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, everybody. It's a dank, crappy-looking day outside. But
beautiful gardening weather, though, Spike. Beautiful gardening weather.
I did my mulch the other day. The pile never goes down. Anyway, just one comment I wanted to make. You know, I can understand the news being very depressing, and I find myself, like you said, Chris, you know, you watch less and less of it. But think of it like this for team sports, and I haven't heard anybody say this. When they show you the map that looks like paint by numbers, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It has all the colors on it. Why don't the sports teams, because if once you try this in any team sport, the ones that are playoff bound, et cetera, once you try it, you got one shot. You got one shot. So why don't they go to the lightest color or the darkest color, whatever the legend is, and go out there, wherever it may be, Wyoming, North Dakota, set up shop. Put a perimeter around it. Make sure you got lodging and everything. There must be a college or something out there. Disinfect it and play your playoffs or play your games out there. Because if you go into a populated area with darker colors where all the cases are, your chances are much less of succeeding. To me, you know, I want to see it as much as anybody. But I think that's the only way to do it because you're getting one crack at this, boys. And I would love to see it. And I think it would really be a smart idea. And I'm not the smartest guy, but it's pretty logical to me. And by the way, Rick, have you tried paint by numbers, by the way, with your children?
Yeah, we got stickers by numbers, paint by numbers. We got the sidewalk chalk. Mom was doing, apparently now they're offering chess as one of his Oh, nice. One of his online classes.
That's kind of cool.
Except my wife has no idea what's going on.
Yeah. Well, listen, you do the best you can. I count my blessings every day, man. I found a store that I know, I won't say where it is.
Yeah, you would never share that information, right, Spike? Keep that to yourself.
I would tell you off the air, but you're not going to come out in my neck of the woods. And I got to be extremely careful now. But I go into a store and I called up to, no one here now, 10 people. The store's got 20 aisles, you know, in and out. And anyone comes near me, I've said this before. I don't know if I said it to you because I call everybody. You guys know. If I'm near anybody, I turn into Carl Lewis. I'm out of there so fast that you can't believe it. Because I got the mask, I got the gloves, and I wipe down the cart and the whole bit. And then I got to go through the whole process, bring it home through the garage.
We all got to do that, Spike. All right, listen, we appreciate the phone call. Stay healthy, all right? Good. All right, that's all right. Good stuff from Spike, as always. But I think that's kind of the plan that they're looking to do, is just kind of camp out in one of these cities that's not been affected to that high-level extent and or a couple of different cities, depending on the sport, and just try to bang out the postseason or like Major League Baseball discussed, to bang out the regular season in a place like Arizona. We've heard that thrown out there before.
Yeah, that can be the plan, Dave. But, I mean, you ultimately have to have some contingency if some personnel gets infected with the virus. And I think that's what's holding up everybody from getting going again, is because you don't have a vaccine for coronavirus. You don't have a treatment protocol that you feel confident that can deal with this, where everybody would come out okay on the other side of it if they did get infected. So I think that's the thing that you have to be conscious of if you're Adam Silver with the NBA or you're Gary Bettman with the NHL, you know, Rob Manfred with baseball. I mean, until you have a treatment protocol in place or until you have a vaccine, you almost can't run the risk of putting these guys in harm's way, because I just feel like with the amount of people that you're dealing with, the number of athletes and the number of folks that it takes to actually put these games on, you know, eventually somebody is going to be infected with the coronavirus. It's going to be transmitted to somebody that's in your personnel. And it's just a matter of being able to have a plan that you feel confident with dealing with that type of situation. And I just don't think that they have anything right now that's reliable.
Yeah, I think you're going through all the worst case scenarios. And how do you answer those questions? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you're sitting here talking this thing out. You know, what happens if, you know, one of the players tests positive? Do we shut this thing down? You know, okay, so let's get the answers. How do we fix it? And right now they don't have enough of those answers. And what's the public perception too? And I heard this a couple different times. You know, we're a country right now that's struggling to get tests for everybody. You know, how does the public perceive it if all of a sudden now you're talking about, you know, NBA teams, NHL teams
have unlimited testing?
Exactly right. That they can test all these guys once a week. But you know what it is? I mean, of course it's different. You know what I'm saying? Like, of course, you know, because of all the money involved, they'll find a way to make that happen. But
yeah, but we had that right off the bat. I mean, how in the world was Rudy Gobert able to get a test? And Donovan Mitchell got a test. And I mean, we know how it goes. Those in higher levels or considered more important people or those of means are able to get the test that some of the other people are not able to get. We know that's the case.
No, it's the same way that all of a sudden, you know, Chris Canty, you know, tweaks his ankle on, you know, a Sunday afternoon, and then that Sunday night he's in the MRI tube.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the reality of it.
Right. And the best doctor's looking at his MRI first thing Monday morning. And if surgery's needed, they'll do it as quickly as possible. That's just, I mean, that's how it goes.
Yeah, that's how it goes, yeah. Dave. But there is still a little bit of a PR issue when it comes to that, because you've got 60,000 Americans that are dead now because of coronavirus. And, you know, you'd like to think that if you would have more widespread available testing, that some of those lives could have been saved. So I just think that when you're starting to talk about getting sports back going again, we know a big part of that has to be rapid, reliable testing. But you'd have a hard time convincing people in our country that those athletes getting testing are not taking tests away from people that actually need them in a life or death situation.
Yeah, I don't know how you plan to open up your season then if you're not there with the testing. Because I don't know that. I mean, the plans to open up the season are going to be coming soon. If you want to start end of June, tomorrow's May, you're going to have to really have a launch plan for whatever sport we're talking about. If you're going to have a plan to return and you don't have the testing that's just, you know, rampant to the point that everyone can get it, I don't know how you realistically have a return to these sports then.
No, I don't either, Dave, but I'm just saying that even when you do get that test that's reliable, and I know they're having some issues with that, but even when you do get that, I mean, are you going to have enough for every person in this country? And the reality is you're probably not. And so you're going to have to spin it somehow, some way, you know, because you're talking about taking testing away from somebody that could actually need it in a life or death situation and giving it to an athlete who doesn't have to be put in a circumstance where they would actually need to be tested.
Yeah, I don't know what the right answer is.
Well, there is no right answer.
There is no answer. There is no answer, Dave. I'm sorry. I'm not peppering you with questions. That there's an answer.
Well, there's no good answer. I mean, you're going to need, I mean, for any of these leagues to get going, especially because it's, you know, state to state. I mean, we're in the middle of this thing. So, I mean, we're still stay at home. There are other states that are kind of easing their way back. So it's different state to state. I mean, on top of that, you know, with the NHL, you got guys that are in Europe, you got, you know, Canadian teams. So, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, but you're going to need at some point, I mean, they've been having conversations with the president and everything else. There's going to need to be a mandate if they want to get this thing going from, you know, the federal government in participation with the state governments that, you know, we're going to have to ease up on these sports teams and allow them to get back to work if it's that important.
Let's go to Dennis in Huntington Station. Dennis, you're next up on 98.7.
About the hello, can you hear me?
Go ahead, Dennis.
Did you guys hear about the 3-division report that they're going to do with baseball?
Yes,
they're going to do 80 games, East, West, Central, sort of thing.
Yeah, I didn't hear that 80 was defined as of right now, but I did hear the plan of the 3 different 10-team divisions. Yes.
How is that going to work? Are they going to like put them in each location, like a biosphere?
No.
I think they'll actually play in their home stadiums, is what I am led to believe.
So it's going to be Yankees, Mets, Red Sox, Nationals,
Phillies,
Marlins,
Orioles. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right.
Wow, the Yankees are going to destroy the Mets.
Bad guy.
Not a bad guy. You know, you've been a bad guy, Dave.
When was I a bad guy?
Because I called 3 weeks ago, I said that Gettleman should look into trading Barkley. Not only did you hang up on me, but you mocked me, laughed at me. And then a week later, that's your hot take. So,
I never thought it was going to happen. I just said that I thought that was the direction that the Giants should turn to. But I never, ever for a second thought that there was any realistic chance that would happen.
And
thanks for the call, Dennis. Even Rick, if you remember, even when I gave my hot take, I said I want it understood before I start it. There's zero chance that this happens. But this is what I would do if I was running the Giants, correct?
Yeah, which, I mean, for a couple reasons is wrong, because that's not even a hot take. And second of all, it sounded like you just hack sparrowed his point.
Hack sparrow his point.
I don't even know if I can trust your hot takes anymore. Chris, can you trust his hot takes when he's
stealing
them from
callers? Stop it.
You're a thought pirate. I didn't even realize you're a thought pirate. You just stole that poor man's original thought.
He calls up to say how, I hope the Yankees just stomp on the Mets. And then he just has in his back pocket when I call, he wasn't going to say I'm a bad guy. He was just holding it as this potential trump card.
Yeah. Hey, that's right? What happens, man. Yeah,
no,
listen, you shouldn't
fraud.
Have incited him. You shouldn't have incited him.
I didn't
you
incite
let him. Go through the,
you think,
you
think
him,
that, you think
you
I'm stealing people's hot takes? Come on. I can get a hot take anywhere at any point. If you happen to agree with it, then that's not my problem.
Well, I just didn't realize that you stole hot takes. I mean, you're a kleptomaniac with the hot takes.
Wow.
You should have just let him go through all the teams in each of the divisions, just list them out.
Yeah, because that was great radio. Please continue. So you're telling me Washington. he was like the teacher from Bueller, right? Mr. Erickson here. So Washington and Baltimore. I was like, yes, and Miami and Tampa. We could still be doing that. You want me to slowly run through all the divisions in this realigned baseball?
No, I didn't.
Nah,
but
we're on that.
Just trying to protect you and your integrity.
Yeah,
it's completely gone now.
How come you never defend me? How come whenever I'm up against it, it's always you take that side? It could be anybody. You take that side.
Well, what am I supposed to do? I mean, what are we going to just sit here for 3 hours
my
and
side.
Each other all the time? No,
yeah,
listen,
take
you
my
fight
side.
You fight. Well, listen, if you're wrong, I'm going to hold you accountable. You were wrong. You stole his thought.
I did.
Embarrassing.
I stole his thought.
And you hung up on him, which makes it worse.
I don't have control over hanging up on people.
Yeah, you do. You have a drop.
I don't know if that's true or not.
No, I don't. What do you mean I have control? Santiago, can somebody come to my defense in Santiago? Do I have control over hanging up on anybody?
I can't speak for you. I can only speak for me.
Oh, God, it's unbelievable. All right, great. Emmanuel in Flushing. Let me punch him up because I got that control here. Emmanuel in Flushing, you're next up on 98.7.
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
What's going on, Emmanuel? Are you here to beat me up in any capacity, or are you going to be nice?
I don't know. I mean, it depends. Anyway, I would say, I mean, you brought up the which sports league is going to come back after the pandemic. Most likely the NBA and the NHL, because I read an article. It was come up from your teammate of Alan Hahn. He was thinking a suggestion about the NBA could play in Walt Disney World in Orlando, because you know as well ESPN y'all broadcast the NBA games. And what do you guys think?
Sure, I mean sure,
it's a possibility. Not, they have the facilities down there.
Yeah, but time out. Mm-hmm. That's not whoever just did that story. You remember who just did that story?
Shams had it.
Yeah, but this was, I mean, didn't we talk about that 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was an idea that was floating around 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We had a story where the guy actually broke down, like, you know, piece by piece why that made perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And I think that's still a possibility. It still should be something that's on the board. I mean, it makes sense. I think that the biggest hurdle now is just being able to have the testing, just so you can make sure that you're taking every precaution to keep the athletes safe. I think that's ultimately what it's coming down to. And I'm looking forward to hearing from Adam Silver. Remember, he said that he wasn't going to talk about it anymore in the month of April, right, and that he was going to address it in May. So tomorrow is May 1st. So we should be hearing from him shortly about what the NBA's plan is in terms of trying to move forward, whether they're actually going to conclude the regular season, whether they're going to try to jump to the postseason, or whether they're just going to can the whole thing altogether. So I'm excited to hear from him.
I think the only thing that makes sense is the playoffs.
Right to the postseason?
In all honesty, yeah.
Even if you extend the postseason, right? 7 plays 10, 8 plays 9, or you have some kind of mini tournament to get into that top 8.
Yeah, I mean, that's meaningful games. I mean, yeah, you can sell that to the players. I mean, you're going to be hard-pressed to sell to the players, okay, we're going to have to reconvene, you know, practice for a couple weeks and then play, you know, however many games to finish out our schedule for no reason. That's like that whole, remember, like, you know, you know what we should do to eliminate tanking is we should have a tournament to see who gets the highest draft pick.
Which is mad, like the players are going to play hard so they can get a higher draft pick for the organization.
It's ridiculous. I can't wait for them to draft the guy who's going to take my job.
Yeah, they're going to play like Michael Jordan to potentially, you know, get the number one pick.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But to your point, Rick, how could you justify putting those players at risk when they're not playing for anything?
You can't.
Which is why jumping straight to the playoffs makes the most sense if you're talking about basketball or hockey.
Yeah, I think ultimately that's what it ends up being.
I remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Here's what you do. Click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play ESPN New York at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. I think as you were mean to me today, I'm not going to help you with your trivia question from Andy when we bring him on.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. Well, Rick, Chris wasn't mean to me.
Well, that's fine. As long as you don't steal my answer, I'll be all set.
Okay. All right. Leave you out there on your own. Before we get to Andy, some positivity. Patrick in Brooklyn. Patrick, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. I just want to say, you know, thanks so much, Rick. I appreciate your positivity when you guys were talking about the news before and how you can only take so much. I mean, it takes a little more effort to be positive, but it really changes my day. I have my wife's pregnant. She's doing a month. We're here in Brooklyn in our little apartment, and just waking up every day and listening to you guys is really a scheduled part of my day, and it makes me feel, you know, like I'm part of a community, and I just really truly appreciate all that you guys are doing. It means the world to me.
That's very nice.
Congratulations.
Yeah, is this your first?
Yeah, it's my first.
Wow.
Do you know if it's a boy or a girl yet?
It's a boy. Yeah, it's a boy.
Nice.
Nice.
Did you do a gender reveal or no?
No, no gender reveal. No, you know, we couldn't do a baby shower or anything like that. So it's just pretty much me and her just going through this whole thing, lockdown in Brooklyn. And so far, everything's looking good. But
nice. It's great. Do you have a name picked out?
Yeah, we're working on it. Almost there. No names yet, but close.
If you want to use, you're a Giants fan?
You guys, it's funny. I'm actually from Boston originally.
Ugh.
But I've lived in New York for the last 15 years. I always listen to your guys' show. So I don't have any sports names. I don't think my wife would go for it.
Because Giants as a middle name is really would be lovely.
Yeah, but no, from the bottom of my heart, guys, thank you. So
it's very nice. Patrick, thank you. The call means more than you have any idea. It's a lovely call.
That's unbelievable news, too. First baby, that's awesome.
Yeah. Strange
times
for
a boy?
First baby, though.
And a boy? That's great.
Yeah. That's as good as it gets.
Best piece of advice, though, too. I mean, don't tell anyone the names because it only makes it worse. It makes it harder. I made that mistake with
Milo. Yeah, that's probably true. That's probably true. Although I tried to convince Sherry that Giant should be the middle name of both of our children, and she surprisingly would not go with it.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're going to have your kid for the, like, hi, I'm Ben Giants Rothenberg.
I mean, it's a great conversation starter. And her thing was, what happens if he's big and fat? Now you're going to name your child Giants?
Yeah, that's no good. That's like Gina Tell. You can't do it.
Come on, man.
Not that it's quite Gina Tell, but yes. I wore her down to the point that she's like, I'll give you Mara. Habit, would you like Mara as the middle name? I was like, no, I don't want to name it after someone else's family. I want to name it after the Giants.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah.
That's too much.
That's doing way too much.
Yeah, I mean, your kids got to live with that name. It's too much.
Oh.
If you're a Jets fan, you could use Jet. That could be a solid name, solid middle name.
I think there's someone that is in the this business that named their son that, if I'm correct.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Jet? It's like, who wants to name, like, if you love apples, you can name your kid Apple?
Yeah.
It's been done, but really?
I don't know if it's advisable. Yeah,
Gwyneth Paltrow, is their kid's name Apple?
Yeah, she's also selling, candles that smell like her vajayjay. So, what are we talking about here?
I didn't want it to be the first name. I don't want it to have to, put his hand out when something like that was socially acceptable to shake a hand and say, hey, I'm Giants Rothenberg. No. But the middle name, the kid, Giants?
Dave, stop. Dave. The first day, you know how kids are not, kids have the tendency not to be overly nice sometimes. I mean, you're just going to set your kid up to be tormented.
Well, it didn't happen. But I wish.
No kidding. And you picked out a couple good names and you got great kids.
Yeah, well, worked out for me. All right, let's go. Andy from Merrick, we bring him in with his trivia saga on a Thursday. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, guys. You know, I came a little high and tight yesterday, and I feel bad about it. Rick even mentioned that, if this was a football or pro football Hall of Fame question, he would have gotten it. So, challenge accepted.
Ooh.
We're going all football today.
An NFL trivia day from Andy.
I like it.
Chris, defensive side of the ball. You ready?
I'm ready.
Since 1994, Ray Lewis ranks number one in solo tackles with 1,568. Who's number two? Ooh.
Since 94, you said?
Since 1994.
Who's number two in tackles?
Now, that's their career or that's in a season?
Solo tackles for a career.
Career.
I don't think Ray Lewis had 1,500 in the season. That'd be a lot.
He was quite the player.
I was about to say 1,500 times in a season. What are we doing?
That sounds like 6 months for Dave. Dave's got easily 1,500 solos.
Wow, and you had to take it there, didn't you?
You know what, I could help Chris. I'm going to, if you'd like help, Chris, I could help you if you'd like.
No, I don't need, I'm all set with the help, Dave. I'm good.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. You know what? I actually think I do know this one. It was a guy that spent a lot of his time playing in the Beltway for the other team, not Ray Lewis's team. I'm going to go with London Fletcher.
You would be correct.
Yeah, I know Fletch.
Nicely done.
Yeah, undrafted too. Played with a chip on his shoulder. They asked him if he wanted to take days off in practice, and he wouldn't do it. He never did it. That's probably one of the most impressive things about him.
Should be in the Hall of Fame someday. We'll see.
Where was Zach Thomas on that list?
Zach Thomas, I think, was number... Hang on one second.
Five,
yeah. Yep.
I'm looking at it now. Yep.
I love Zach Thomas's game. He's a good football player.
All right. Rick, we're going to go to the offensive side of the ball. not counting Adrian Peterson, who's still active.
Okay.
Name the only player in NFL history with 90 or more rushing touchdowns that's not in the Hall of Fame.
Most rushing touchdowns that's not in the Hall of Fame?
Correct.
You and these stupid Hall of Fame questions.
I love them, Andy. I think they're great.
See, you're a bad guy.
Why am I a bad guy? I enjoy his questions.
Most rushing touches is not in the Hall of Fame. Fairly recent? This player fairly recent?
Yeah, he was a fantasy stud in the 2000s. The early 2000s.
Giants should have drafted him.
Fantasy stud in the 2000s. Was how long career, illustrious career?
He had about a 9-year career. Scored 100 TDs rushing.
100 TDs rushing. I have an idea who I want to go with, but for some reason, I'm just going to...
You're right, Dave. The Giants should have drafted him. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Well, no, they couldn't get him high enough. They would have had to
draft him
overall. I'll go with... Dave's not going to give me any help.
No?
Is it...
You got it.
Is it Sean Alexander?
Roll Tide.
Nice.
You got it.
The Giants took Dave. Ron Dane. What was that?
That was a bad selection is what it was.
All right, CeCe's done defense. Rick has done offense. Dave,
I'm going to get special teams.
Special teams
Steve,
and
Steve
or
Tasker.
Non-offensive touchdowns. Ready?
Oh, for God's sakes.
Name the player in NFL history with the most career non-offensive touchdowns, meaning special teams and or defense.
That's a pretty good question.
Oh, of course, you think it's a great question.
You like that question?
It's fine. No. Oh, God. Do we have any idea of this? I mean, it's not solely going to be a punt return guy.
It could be Devin Hester. And or special teams.
It feels like this is going to be a mix, but it's going to be a defensive back
that actually returned kicks. That's what I'm thinking.
So what do you think about Devin Hester then?
He played on the offensive side of the ball.
And defensive side of the ball.
What do you mean defensive side? Devin Hester played on the defensive side of the ball?
They played him both ways for a while. And he was a tremendous punt returner and kickoff returner. So you think
he's one of the best
defensive
ever.
Guy?
The reason why he threw in defensive, isn't it? I mean, he's
Andy, like is that. It a defensive guy?
It is defense and or special teams. I'm not going to give you any
he'll
more.
He'll give us nothing. He's like a rock. Oh, for God's sakes. I wonder, George Martin was always considered a guy but he wasn't a special teams guy.
Come on, Dave. Come on.
The defense throws me. Can't you have any idea?
I'm thinking about it, Dave. I'm trying to work my way through this thing. I think this guy was a defensive back, correct, Andy?
He won't tell you.
I don't want to give it away.
He was a defensive back, correct?
He won't tell you.
I can't tell you that because it's going to give it away.
Did this guy wear a jerry curl?
I'm not going there. Not giving it away.
Can he be a Hall of Famer?
He is not currently in the Hall of Fame, and that's all I'm going to give you.
Oh. Is Charles Woodson in the Hall of Fame?
Charles Woodson is not eligible yet for the Hall of Fame, and it's not the answer either.
Oh, my God. So it's not Devin
this
Hester.
This is a good one.
It's not Charles Woodson.
Is that
do we
not,
know it's not? Do we know it's not Devin Hester, by the way?
You don't know it's not Devin Hester.
Devin Hester is
I'm going to go with Devin
Hester.
Yeah,
I think that would be a good answer.
You would be correct.
Yes! You know, you lead me off this. Hey, they couldn't
you
be Devin
what?
Hester.
I was hoping, Dave, I was hoping you'd bite on the Deion Sanders 19 career non-offensive touchdowns. Hester had 20.
Yes.
But you did it. You took care of it.
And won in the
Nicely
Super Bowl.
Nicely done, Dave.
Beautiful. So we went 3-for-3 today.
You sure did. Stay healthy, guys.
Thank you, Andy. I love Andy's calls.
Nicely done, Dave. Brightens how you worked through that one.
You know what's unfair? I thought it was Hester to start, and then you guys were talking me out of Devin Hester. So then I went Woodson. He told me it's not Woodson. I went back to Hester. We got it right.
There you go.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right.
Devin Hester should be a Hall of Famer, though, right?
What'd you say?
Devin Hester should be a Hall of Famer, though, right?
I mean, if you
eventually, shouldn't he get in?
you would think that you should put a guy in who, I mean, is it fair to say he's one of, if not the greatest return man in the history of football?
Yeah, absolutely, Dave.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I would think someday he should get into the
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.